This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
And welcome to Joy's International News and Current Affairs show for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Judy for reading the news so eloquently. Worldwide Wave, just a two-person team tonight. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Matt.
It's great to be here. Now, Singapore is a complex melting pot of modernity and tradition. British colonisation brought criminalisation for gay men, but not for lesbians. Trans people are hidden and often mistreated. This is the second part of our look inside Singapore's LGBTI community.
What are the implications if a person comes out to their family in modern-day Singapore?
How much active opposition is there to LGBT rights?
What inspires a gay man to get involved in a community support and advocacy in a country where being gay is illegal? Sharing both his professional and personal experiences of being gay in Singapore, tonight we are joined by Yung Fa Liao, the Executive Director of Ooga Choga Counselling Service in Singapore, who dropped into the Joy Studios to speak with us recently.
This is Taya Braun, Legal Director of the Human Dignity Trust on Worldwide Wave.
Never been an easy ride. Been struggling all my life. But you can't turn back. Just one last chance to give it all. Running down an open road. Where I'm headed, I don't know. Gotta hold tight, the time is right. I'm going it alone. I can't face you now and express myself. I'll tell you how. I just see.
That was Sam Bailey with Sing Your Heart Out, or Sing My Heart Out, she was doing.
Why have we got Sam?
Because we're going to sing a paw. So we're going to sing away through the show.
Right. We are tonight in Singapore. Hey, a few messages coming in. Thank you, Brad, on 0427JOY9, actually through the Joy app, which you can download for free. In better world news, not specifically gay, but counters the German cardinal views, the French are putting a Catholic cardinal and five other church officials on trial for child abuse. And one in two from on Facebook from Donaldi. This is about the Brazil news with the new presidential decrees that have come in. He says, elitist white trash presidente. Not sure what you're saying there, Donaldi, but we like it. Now,
taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Fact.
Not quite your traditional fun, fast facts tonight. We're dissecting this whole Section 377 issue in Singapore because I don't quite understand how a country that seems so progressive can still hold on to this law. Interestingly, most people who oppose this law do not necessarily think gay men should be thrown in jail. And there's just no mention of women, lesbian, it's not a problem.
Well, you know why, because it's the old Victorian thing. And
that's the Blaine
British
Paul thing,
yeah.
Now, the majority of Singaporeans, though, however, have wrongly conflated the repeal of the laws with the acceptance of marriage equality or adoption. So it's this intense family focus and jumping, well, if we start giving rights away, then it'll all change.
But have they wrongly put it together, or they've been pushed into that? Has someone been suggesting that, such as the church over there?
There are definitely advocates within Christian churches against rights. Interestingly, though, the Archbishop of Singapore said he would support the repeal of Section 377 if no further demands were made to legalise same-sex unions, adoption of babies by same-sex couples, surrogacy, or to criminalise those who do not support the homosexual lifestyle.
That's rather a big but.
It is. That's a huge but. The minister that looks after this, the Minister for Home Affairs and Law, said that when it comes to people's lifestyles and sexual attitudes, we really should be careful in treating them as criminal or criminalising that. So he's sort of actually posing a bit of a progressive view.
He did caveat that with saying that was his personal opinion.
So the law is in place and the government has publicly said that it's not being enforced. However,
they don't actually have the right to say it can't be enforced.
No. It's actually put them in a bit of a legal quandary. A couple of attorney generals have questioned this and sort of there's some legal issues along with that. And there's always this threat hanging over people. So perhaps the government is privately hoping that the courts will make a change in this area and they won't have to deal with it.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Our last look at LGBTI rights in Singapore explored the slow progress towards decriminalisation of homosexuality, the power of sharing personal stories and the low-profile response to the grandson of the respected founding Prime Minister who came out publicly last year as being gay. If you missed that, it's online now on podcast, joy.org.au/worldwidewave. During a recent visit to Melbourne, the Executive Director of Ooga Chugga LGBTI Counselling Service in Singapore, Yang Fa Liao, he dropped in here to the Joy Studios and we had a really extensive chat. Here we are talking about the opposition to LGBTI rights. You mentioned opposition groups, conservatives, religious groups. Mm. Do they verbally, visually oppose the LGBT community, or are they getting more say than you, or is it LGBT issues just aren't on the radar for anyone.
It's kind of just to set a context for how things, we know how things are working out in Singapore as well with the opposing voices, shall we say. They come from a particular minority religion in Singapore, and we also know for a fact that they are a minority within this minority religion. And this is back to how in Singapore, at least, we have a secular state. We do recognise that it's diversity of religions, races and cultures as well. So there's a clear separation of church and state, and yet religion and state. And we do know that there's a minority of Christians in Singapore, for example, who vocally and very fiercely champion their anti, what they call pro-family and anti-LGBT cause. And it pains me to say this because in the work that I do as a social worker and counsellor for Uga Chaga, we do meet with many individuals and couples and families who identify as religious, whether it's Christians or Muslims or Hindu or Buddhists. And it pains me and it hurts them to often be put in a situation where they feel like they have to choose between being either pro-family or pro-LGBTQ. And that's not fair, because for many people in a multi-religious country like ours, faith and religion are such important things. And yet we know there's this minority of Christians in Singapore who put up such a strong, very vocal, actually, opposition. So, for example, in recent months, we've seen a particular church, they've been advertising conversion trauma on social media, in particular Facebook. I've actually taken it up with Facebook for them to do something about this. Here we have an openly homophobic church purchasing ads on Facebook. And the message that this particular church is sending out is appealing directly to the local LGBT plus community to come home, and for them co-opting the language of the queer community to come out and to come home, to come home.
So you're lost. We'll find you. We'll.
Yes.
If somebody is within a religious family, mm-hmm. and they chose to come out, what might the repercussions be for them?
To be fair, the experiences will vary. So we do know lots of positive experiences as well. So if we were to talk about the more negative experiences, we do know of families, again, in particular, some Christian and some Muslim families, where a lot of the views are very much, I would describe them as quite very conservative fundamentalists as well, in that there's a very clear black and white. So according to scripture, to them at least, it will be a case of, no, you do not cross that line. You cannot be gay. You cannot be lesbian. You cannot be trans. If you are, either we throw you out or we convert you or we disown you. So it's really clear, black and white. And then and when I meet families like that, it also hurts me. And I think of how all those many other religious families who find it within themselves, that strength and that courage and that love to accept their queer children.
That was Yung Fau Liao from Singapore's Uga Chaga Counselling Service. Coming up, we find out what support there is for someone thrown out of their home because of their sexuality. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Tamás from Heartfelt Society, fighting for the human rights of the LGBTQI community in Hungary on the Worldwide Wave.
Whenever I am feeling low, I look around me and I know there's a place that will stay within me wherever I may choose to go. I will always recall the city, know every street and shore, sail down that river which brings us life, winding through my Singapore. I must be where my dreams wait for me, where that river always flows. This is home, surely, as my senses tell me. This is where I won't be alone, for this is where I know
Different.
That was a bit different. That was actually Home by Dick Lee, which is one of the songs that have been written for Singapore's National Day. But that one particularly was actually used as a theme for Pink Dot in 2013.
Which he performed at. So a great ally of the community, of the LGBT community in Singapore. Mm-hmm. Message in. G'day, Maddie and team. Loving tonight's program on singers. You have a sexy radio voice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott and Eddie. You can message us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, there are a couple of issues in tonight's show which might affect some people. There's always somebody to speak to. 24 hours a day, Lifeline is there on 13 11 14. And, of course, QLife, the Gay and Lesbian Counselling Service, weekday afternoons and evenings, 1800 184 527.
So as we return to the interview we had with Yung Fa, the family risks are real for LGBTI that choose to come out in Singapore. We asked Yung Fa from Singapore's Ugachuga Counselling Service what support there was for someone whose family disowns them because of their sexuality.
We know, again, not surprisingly, amongst LGBT plus community in Singapore, the group that's most at risk would be the transgender community, in particular trans youth, in particular trans women, older trans women as well. And again, a lot of work is being done by the local community in various ways. So Ugachuga, we do provide counselling and support. We don't have the resources to run a shelter. We do work with another organisation, the T Project, as well. They run a shelter for homeless transgender persons, and the need there is very real for homeless trans women as well as trans men. Not just for younger people as well, but for older people who, for whatever reasons, just find it really difficult to find rental accommodation, for example, because of outright discrimination. And again, because there's still criminalisation in Singapore, there is no protection against discrimination for LGBT plus persons.
So tell us a bit more about Ugachuga and the kinds of services you provide.
Ugachuga, we are a community-based, non-profit professional organisation. We work with LGBTQ plus individuals and couples and families. And this is language that's constantly evolving as well, right? I know I kind of say all that pluses sort of tongue-in-cheek, but the reality is we use language differently, and people are using different words to describe their identities. So we've decided upon the plus in the whole description of who we work with. We provide counselling services. So we have been doing this since 1999. So next year will be our 20th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so face-to-face professional counselling services. On top of that, we also have a really excellent group of trained volunteers who provide counselling on the hotline, email and WhatsApp. And that has been incredible as well, because it means we can reach out to lots of people in Singapore and also outside of Singapore, as we found recently, who for whatever reason are not able to or not comfortable just coming in to see someone face-to-face. So, for example, a shout-out to listeners in Brunei as well, because we know in Brunei things have not been easy, and they clearly do not have any LGBTQ plus support services. So we do know that our services are accessible and used by people in Brunei, LGBTQ plus community in Brunei. And certainly in other parts of the world as well.
How does Ooga Chugga, a gay counselling service, exist in a country where it's illegal to be gay?
That's the $250,000 question. And I say $250,000 because that's how much it costs to run Ooga Chugga.
Yep.
For the whole year. So a combination of grants, anonymous donors, individual donors, people who support us in our fundraising activities.
And so no government funding.
No government funding because obviously that would be difficult. And we have been fortunate in the past 20 years, maybe in the past 10, 12 years or so, we have been able to raise more funds. And so it's in the last 10 years, we've been able to maintain an office premises. And also to have a very small team of full-time staff, myself included. So every year has been lots of hard work by staff before me, as well as the current staff I have with me right now, as well as our team of wonderful volunteers over the past 20 years.
There was an open letter written to the Prime Minister seeking change in Singapore. Ooga Chugga was one of the signatories. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit more about the letter and what you're wanting to achieve, but also, is there any risk to you in putting your name as a counselling service to something which is a overtly or potentially political message?
So a bit of background, a bit of context to how this letter came about. So on 21st of July this year, there was a 10th Pink Dot. So the tagline for Pink Dot this year was, "We are ready." So basically, we are ready for decriminalisation, we're ready for equality and everything in terms of positive developments for the LGBT plus community. So at the event on 21st of July, there was an announcement of 10 declarations for equality. So what we did, the 12 signatories, 12 organisations decided to write an open letter to the Prime Minister with those 10 declarations for equality, and alongside each declaration to put forward a commitment, a recommendation. And also an invitation, really, for the Prime Minister and his government to have that conversation and dialogue with us. So to answer your question about repercussions for us, well, if anything, what our government has always said to us about conversations about LGBT rights and equality is, well, it needs to be a conversation that we have as Singaporeans. And it might sound a bit strange to your listeners here, but it's always about how, well, let's talk about it. As Singapore citizens and permanent residents, let's not have conversations that involve so-called foreigners, people outside of the local community. So I like to think that as long as we are having those conversations respectfully amongst equals.
Have you had a reply? Has the conversation started?
Well, that letter was dated 1st August, was sent by registered post to the Prime Minister's office. And on that same day, we sort of made it public as well. So I don't know if it had any reply. So I'm sure I'll get a phone call. If I do get a phone call at some point, or yeah, maybe I'll come back and tell you about it, or maybe not, because I may not be able to. I don't know.
Now, that whole thing of Singaporeans having a discussion and the outsiders, the international community, because one of the rules that's in place is for Pink Dot, the park that it's held in, the Democracy Park, foreigners can't be in there. It's so, just for Singaporeans.
So there's actually an Act of Parliament that governs the use of the conduct of activities and events on Hong Lim Park. And 2 years ago, the rules were tightened to strictly prohibit majority of foreign-owned companies from sponsoring events that take place on Hong Lim Park. So that's very specific. So it also
targeting the LGBT community?
So it meant that overnight, Pink Dot was not able to be supported by foreign-owned companies like Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft, and various other sort of international banks as well.
We've got some more coming up with Young Fa, particularly around Pink Dot. That's an event I would love to go to, but
you're not allowed.
I can't.
To.
I'm not allowed. I loved that the Ooga Chugga Counselling Service, so they've got provide some counselling via WhatsApp, and there's all these other countries that have no services that are able to access it.
It's good that actually Brunei actually manages to have some access, because that's, I mean, we've covered it recently.
So you can find that. It's a great listen to find out what life is like for a gay person in Brunei. Just go to our website, joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
I mean, they've got it worse, because it's not just a 2-year jail sentence, it's actually potentially death.
Yeah, and a lot more persecution and, mm-hmm. Lots of other issues. The other thing that's sort of been bubbling away in Singapore, the Singapore High Court recently, just before Christmas, ruled in favour of a gay doctor who was seeking to adopt his biological son. It's quite a landmark ruling. So the child was born via a surrogate and through IVF. And there was sort of this argument over, well, it was testing this whole idea of the family unit.
But also that surrogacy for unmarried families is not allowed in Singapore. So they've got quite a few hurdles to get over
before they get through. So this one's got a double-edged sword on it. So on the positive side, the High Court ruled that he could in fact have full custody of this child. For the benefit of the child. But there were some words that the High Court used that sort of... since then, the minister that sort of covers this area has spoken out and said, well, yes, it actually supports the... after publication of this judgment, it may be harder for future applicants doing the same to argue they did not intentionally set out to do it. LGBT persons have a place in Singapore society. At the same time, the government supports and encourages parenthood with marriage and does not support the formation of same-sex family units. And he basically said, yeah, that's what the High Court said. The High Court agreed with us.
Because the ruling, the judgment, the judges did actually say that they didn't want to be seen to be supporting non-traditional family.
Yeah,
that's supported in Singapore.
Until there is some more direction from the parliament. But yes, so look, it's baby steps. Maybe it's 2 steps forward, 1.9 steps back. But, let's take it as a win. It's Worldwide Wave.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchita Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
Lightning, love. that there's nowhere else. You'd rather be
voice.
Yeah, Mary Lambert with Sing to Me.
Beautiful, beautiful. A couple of messages on Facebook. Stephen and Kevin do not like what is happening in Brazil at the moment. Thanks, guys. So on Facebook, W3Joy, follow us. We'll post news articles right throughout the week for you. We did also just talk briefly in the gap there about midsummer, which is coming. It's so exciting.
Yes, opens 19th of January this week.
So there's a couple of things that are a bit different. So it's starting on the Saturday this year with the Consent Festival. So normally it kicks off on Carnival Day on the Sunday, but there's an extra day in there. Bonus midsummer. Check out the Consent Festival on the Midsummer website. Carnival Day on the 20th at Alexandria Gardens. Just you and 100,000 of your queerest friends.
And let's hope it doesn't rain. Pride March, St Kilda, as always.
Not as always. There's a little change here. It's earlier in the day this year. So don't plonk on down there at 2 o'clock. You'll have missed everything. You'll be a part of the cleanup crew. That's it.
But it's on the 3rd of February.
Still on the 3rd of February. Yep, okay. Yep. Heaps of other short shows, sporting events, international artists, fun galore. Find out all the details, midsummer.org.au. And, of course, Joy is a huge Midsummer fan and supporter.
Now, going back to our interview with Yung Fa, we were speaking to Yung Fa from the Singapore's Ooga Sugar's counselling service, and we asked him how Pink Dot, which is Singapore's pride event, has responded to the changes to government policies affecting the event.
In the past 2 years, Pink Dot has done a fantastic job, and Pink Dot entirely volunteer run as well. They've done a fantastic job of mobilising local businesses to come forward and put the money into supporting a local event, and a local event sponsored by local companies and attended by local people. So I suppose you could look at it both ways. On the one hand, yes, it's a big loss in that they were not able to continue with funding from overseas sponsors. On the other hand, it also meant that local sponsors had to step up and ensure that the event was able to run and successfully.
And perhaps that is something that will resonate more with the government. I mean, if they have done this as some sort of, you know, an obstructive behaviour to try and slow down or shut down Pink Dot, but then locals have stepped up and they're saying, well, we'll have a conversation with locals. Maybe that is a positive thing.
Perhaps. Who knows? Who knows what the government might be thinking? It might have been a strategic, tactical move on their part as well.
And what about Yung Fa himself? How did you get involved in Ooga Chugga?
I've been working full-time with Ooga Chugga for the past 5 years. I joined the team in 2013. Prior to that, I've been good friends with many of the staff and volunteers at Ooga Chugga over the years. Ooga Chugga was first started in 1999. And I remember in the early years, it was running support groups for men and for women, and also for transgender people as well, and also providing counselling services in various locations. And I remember joining Ooga Chugga's support group in the early 2000s. And I found that as a gay man in my late 20s back then, it was incredible to have that kind of peer support. And that's basically what Ooga Chugga started off with being a safe space for queer people to have the support from peers, and eventually over time from trained professionals as well. So for me back then, that was really important, and I thought that was a really powerful experience for me. Over the years, I've stayed in touch with the volunteers and the staff who continue to run Ugachagar. And when the opportunity came up to take up a full-time role with Ugachagar, it took a bit of deliberating. And then I thought, yes, why not? Because prior to this, I was working in a different role. I've always worked in the non-profit sector all my life. And I thought it was time to move to a different organization. And I did. And it's been 5 years.
Do you ever see a time when Singapore won't need Ugachagar?
As a social worker, that is something that I always believe in, that the work we do, however optimistic or maybe that it sounds, that the work we do should not need to be done. So, yes, I think that a term we sometimes use is work ourselves out of business. The day, hopefully, will, may come where we don't need to have a special LGBT counselling support service. The day will come when, you know, all my fellow social workers and counsellors and professionals in the healthcare and social care sector will be able to and comfortable with working with any client, regardless of who or what they are. Whoever walks through that door and wants to access a service, they should be able to receive it.
We hope to see that day. Thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us, Yang Fa Liao from Ugachagar Counselling Service in Singapore. Thanks for being a part of Worldwide Wave.
Thank you.
He was very, very giving with his time. We chatted for ages at the time. Actually, just listening back then on that interview, I run a little bit of a parallel life with Yang Fa. When I was coming out, I went to the Sydney version of the Gay and Lesbian Counselling Service, and they had support groups there. But the door, it was in this what would you call it, terrace house. Mm-hmm. But the door was shut, and I was still dealing with a whole lot of stuff. Found it, I just couldn't go in. In the end, I eventually, months later, plucked up the courage, went along, got involved, and eventually became a counsellor on the counselling service there as well. So we sort of followed parallel paths to that point. I haven't taken up a job there at all, but,
There's still time.
I do always love asking advocates, leaders in the community, how they got their start, because usually it's not something that's it's usually a really quiet, simple way, wanting to make a difference, and they just jump in. And when you go to some of these countries where being gay is not just illegal but persecuted, and yet they're still willing to stand up, I really admire that.
Why was Yang Fa here? What, did you go into that?
He came out for some family reasons, and I said, you're here.
Just pop into the studio, will you?
Yeah. It's Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now. Over 130 years of engineering and design goes into building a Mercedes-Benz. That's a long time. So to truly appreciate a Mercedes, you need to give it some of your time. These holidays, while you have time, take a proper test drive at Mercedes-Benz Mornington and experience a Mercedes-Benz the way it should be on some of Victoria's most beautiful seaside stretches of open road. Mercedes-Benz Mornington, the perfect drive to find your perfect drive. LMCT 443.
Joy sponsor.
It's William calling from Wee Wee Blogs, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. Let's do this!
He is the guru of Eurovision, William. Undoubtedly, we'll be speaking to him again. Hey, Paul, now you are a big Eurovision fan. Are you excited about Eurovision?
Australia Eurovision? Of course I am. What a silly question.
Are you going along?
No. I thought I'd get a better view from the TV, actually.
Right. Okay.
But I will be voting, and I encourage all our listeners to vote.
Right.
And choose who goes to represent Australia in Tel Aviv.
Can't wait. Big thank you to Yang Fa Liao from Singapore's Ugachagar Counselling Service. You can find out more about what they do at ugachagar.com. On Facebook, Kevin, Angel, Jan, Virginia, a heap more who've joined or interacted with us on Facebook during the week.
And not forgetting our podcaster, Alex, and also our social media master, Dean.
Those messages from Scott and Eddie, and also Brad tonight, and a couple of others as well. Stick around. We've got a recap, an encore performance of Urban Dreaming, our Indigenous program here on Joy, coming right up. Then Triple Bypass, Local Roots, and Been There, Done That. Stay with us all night. What's taking us out?
What's taking us out is another Sing For Me by Blue.
Catch you next week on World Wide Wave. Let's get it on.
From Mary. Sing for Mary. Sing for Mary.
Oh, you're so naughty. Get up and ride it tonight. I'm your papi. Let's finish up this bottle of Bacardi.
From Mary. Sing for Mary. Sing for Mary.
I wanna hear that wicked body sing for me. And I can play it straight just like a symphony. Just move that booty on top of the beat, beat. I make that body sing for me.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.